Hello, everyone. It's Amy Poehler, and I am about to read my audiobook, Yes, Please. I'm very excited. And before we begin, I want to let you know that I'm broadcasting from my own personal audio booth that I built at the base of Mount Rushmore 15 years ago. And I built it before I had even written one word, and here I am now reading my book to you. What a country. So, lean back if you're at home. Lean forward if you're in your car, and get ready to hear some amazing voices joining me in this booth today. They include Seth Meyers, Mike Shore, Patrick Stewart, Carol Burnett, Kathleen Turner, and my parents. This is not a joke. I have assembled the best team. Basically, the perfect dinner party guests. Also, the last chapter of this book is read live from the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in Los Angeles. Enjoy. Let's begin. Here we go. Harper Audio presents Yes, Please by Amy Poehler. This is the author. Hi. For my bold and beautiful boys. Writing is hard. A preface. I like hard work, and I don't like pretending things are perfect. I've learned that about myself. And I don't have any fear of writing. I've been writing my whole life. Stories and plays and sketches and scripts and poems and jokes. Most feel alive and fluid, breathing organisms made better by the people who come into contact with them. But this book has nearly killed me. Because, you see, a book has a cover. They call it a jacket, and that jacket keeps the inside warm so that the words stay permanent and everyone can read your genius thoughts over and over again for years to come. Once a book is published, it can't be changed, which is a stressful proposition for this improviser who relies on her charm. I've been told that I am better in the room and prettier in person. Both these things are not helpful when writing a book. I look forward to a lively book-on-tape session with the hope that Kathleen Turner agrees to play me when I talk about some of my darker periods. One can dream.
Well, if you insist.
Thank you, Kathleen. It's reassuring to have you here.
Amy, it would be my pleasure.
It's clear to me now that I had no business agreeing to write this book. I have a job that keeps me shooting 12 hours a day, plus 2 children under 6. I'm going through a divorce and producing many projects and falling in love and trying to make appointments for cranial massage. All of these things are equally wonderful and horrible and keep me just off balance and busy enough to make spending hours alone writing seem like a terrible idea. Plus, I'm 43, which is smack dab in the middle. I haven't lived a full enough life to look back on, but I'm too old to get by on being pithy and cute. I know enough now to know I know nothing. I'm slugging away every day, just like you. But nonetheless, here we are. I've written a book. You have it. Everyone lies about writing. They lie about how easy it is or how hard it was. They perpetuate a romantic idea that writing is some beautiful experience that takes place in an architectural room filled with leather-bound novels and chai tea. They talk about their morning ritual and how they dress for writing and the cabin in Big Sur where they go to be alone, blah, 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 blah. No one tells the truth about writing a book. Authors pretend their stories were always shiny and perfect and just waiting to be written. The truth is, writing is hard and boring and occasionally great, but usually not. Even I have lied about writing. I've told people that writing this book has been like brushing away dirt from a fossil. What a load of shit. It's been like hacking away at a freezer with a screwdriver. I wrote this book after my kids went to sleep. I wrote this book on subways and on airplanes and in between setups while I shot a television show. I wrote this book from scribbled thoughts I kept in the Notes app on my iPhone and conversations I had with myself in my own head before I went to sleep. I wrote it ugly and in pieces. I tried hard not to be overly dramatic, like when I wrote this poem in social studies when I was 14. When life attacks you from every side, it hurts too much. And the most painless, easiest way out is death. To survive, Even now, I'm attempting to write this preface in the dark while my oldest boy, Archie, sleeps next to me. He's dreaming and talking, and I'm turning down the light on the screen as I write about how hard it is to write. Writing a book is awful. It's lonely, even with Archie beside me and my editors nagging me. During this process, I have written my editor's emails with subject headings such as, "How dare you?" and "This is never going to work," and "Why are you trying to kill me?" Most authors liken the struggle of writing to something mighty and macho, like wrestling a bear. Writing a book is nothing like that. It's a small, slow crawl to the finish line. Honestly, I have moments when I don't even care if anyone reads this book. I just want to finish it. If you are listening to this, it means that I have finished. More likely, it means my editors have told me I can't keep tinkering anymore. I will take this time now to thank you for listening to this and buying it and eventually turning it into a feature film with Kate Winslet, Katy Perry, Katie Couric as the star. Let me offer this apology. Please excuse the self-indulgent preface. I know what I'm doing. I'm presenting a series of excuses as to why you should lower your expectations so that you can be blown away by my sneaky insights about life and work. I'm a grown woman. I know my own tricks. I know how good I am at bemoaning my process and pretending I don't care so that my final product will seem, you know, totally natural and part of my essence and not something I sweated for months and years. One of the things I've learned about me while writing about me is that I'm really onto myself. I have got Amy Poehler's number, I'll tell you. I've also learned that writing topless tends to relax me. Go figure, life's a mystery. While writing this book, I made many mistakes. I kept a copy of Nora Ephron's Heartburn next to me as a reminder of how to be funny and truthful, and all I ended up doing was ignoring my writing and just rereading Heartburn. I also kept a copy of Patti Smith's Just Kids nearby, which was awful, because her writing is beautiful and poetic, and how dare she. I also read and reread wonderful books by wonderful women. Rachel Dratch's Girl Walks Into a Bar, Sarah Silverman's Bedwetter, Mindy Kaling's Is Everyone Hanging Out Without Me, Lena Dunham's Not That Kind of Girl, Catlin Moran's How to Be a Woman, and Tina Fey's Bossy Pants. All are superb and infuriating. My dear friend and Parks and Recreation castmate Nick Offerman had the nerve to start and publish his book, Paddle Your Own Canoe, in less time than it took me to write this preface. I congratulated him when he presented it to me, and then I immediately threw it in the garbage. I made other terrible mistakes while I tried to write this book. I asked people who had already finished books for advice, which is akin to asking a mother with a 4-year-old what childbirth is like. All the edges have been rounded, and they've forgotten the pain. Their books are finished and in their libraries, so all they end up talking about is how you need to stick to your guns and not let the editors push you around, and that your title is important. Stick to my guns? I'm hiding from my editors because I feel so guilty that I haven't worked hard enough and given them something genius or interesting or new. My title is important? Well, then I'm screwed, because right now I'm vacillating between The Secret 2 and Mosquitoes Love Me, A Woman's Guide to Getting Her Funk On. The only people I can stand to read right now are Pema Chodron, who reminds me that life is messy and everything is a dream, and Stephen King and Anne Lamott, who are two of my favorite writers on writing. But now that I think of it, both of them are funnier than me, so they can tie their 68 books to their ankles and go jump in a lake. Many people suggested ways I could carve out more time for my writing, but none of their suggestions involved the care and consideration of the small children who live in my house. Every book written by men and women with children under the age of 6 should have a sleep-deprived sticker. I could find lots of discussion online about waiting for the muse, but not enough about having to write in between t-ball games. I want more honesty from people who write books while they have small children. I want to hear from people who feel like they have no time. I remember once reading about J.K. Rowling and how she wrote Harry Potter while she was a single mom struggling to make ends meet. You know, we need to hear more stories like that. However, I do need to point out that J.K. never had to write a personal memoir and make it funny and do it while she had to be on camera with makeup on, and she only had one kid at the time, if I remember correctly. I don't know, this could be wrong. Editors, please fact check this. Also, let marketing know that I am very interested in Yes Please becoming the next Harry Potter. In my desperation, I searched out other writers who were struggling and asked them if they wanted to take a break from their own misery and contribute to my book so I would have fewer pages to fill. I thought about asking Hillary Clinton, but realized she was too busy writing, finishing, and publishing her own book. If I had timed it better, I could have contributed to her book and she could have contributed to mine, but I blew it. I guess my essay, Judge Judy, American Hero, will have to be read in Harper's at a later date. Writing this book has been so hard. I wrote a Parks and Recreation script in 3 days, and it was a joy, writing in a voice that wasn't my own. I've also written 2 screenplays in the time it's taken me to crank this sucker out. I mean, this isn't true, but whatever. I can write a screenplay in my sleep. Shit. So what do I do? What do we do? How do we move forward when we're tired and afraid? What do we do when the voice in our head is yelling that we are never gonna make it? How do we drag ourselves through the muck when our brain is telling us you are dumb and you will never finish and no one cares and it's time you stop? Well, the first thing we do is we take our brain out and we put it in a drawer. Stick it somewhere and let it tantrum until it wears itself out. You may still hear the brain and all the shitty things it's saying to you, but it'll be muffled. And just the fact that it's not in your head anymore will make things seem clearer. And then you just do it. You just dig in and write it. You use your body. You lean over the computer and stretch and pace. You write and then cook something and write some more. You put your hand on your heart and feel it beating and decide if what you wrote feels true. You do it because the doing of it is the thing. The doing is the thing. The talking and worrying and thinking is not the thing. This is what I know. Writing the book is about writing the book. So, here we go, you and me. Because what else are we going to do? Say no? Say no to an opportunity that may be slightly out of our comfort zone? Quiet our voice because we're worried it's not perfect? I believe great people do things before they are ready. This is America, and I am allowed to have healthy self-esteem. This book comes straight from my feisty and freckled fingers. No, it was a battle. Blood was shed. A war raged between my jokey and protective brain and my squishy and tender heart. I've realized that mystery is what keeps people away, and I've grown tired of smoke and mirrors. I yearn for the clean, well-lighted place. So, let's peek behind the curtain and hail the others like us, the open-faced sandwiches who take risks and live big and smile with all of their teeth. These are the people I want to be around. This is the honest way I want to live and love and write. Except when it comes to celebrities without makeup, I want my celebrities to look beautiful. I don't need to see them pumping gas. I try to tell the truth and be funny. What else do you want from me, you filthy animals? I love you, Amy. Instructions for how to use this book. This book is a missive from the middle. It's a street-level view of my life so far. It's an attempt to speak to that feeling of being young and old at the same time. I cannot change the fact that I am an American white woman who grew up lower middle class and had children after spending most of her life acting and doing comedy. So if you hate any of those buzzwords, you may want to bail now. Sometimes this book stays in the present. Other times I try to cut myself in half and count the rings. Occasionally I think about the future, but I try to do that sparingly because it usually makes me anxious. This book is an attempt to present an open scrapbook that includes a sense of what I am thinking and feeling right now. But mostly, let's call this book what it really is. An obvious money grab to support my notorious online shopping addiction. I've already spent the advance on fancy washcloths from Amazon, so I need this book to really sell a lot of copies or else I'm in trouble. Chop chop, people. In this book, there's a little bit of talk about the past. There's some light emotional sharing. I guess that's the memoir part. And there's also some advice, which varies in its levels of seriousness. Lastly, there are just essays, which are stories that usually have a beginning and an end, but nothing is guaranteed. Sometimes these three things are mixed together, like a thick stew. I hope it's full of flavor and fills you up, but don't ask me to list all the ingredients. I struggled with choosing a quote that would set the table for you and establish an important tone once you started listening. I thought about Eleanor Roosevelt's, "A woman is like a tea bag. You never know how strong it is until it's in hot water." I dabbled with, "A woman who does not wear perfume has no future," from the seemingly hilarious and real girl's girl, Coco Chanel. I was tempted by, "I always play women I would date," from Angelina Jolie. But Wordsworth stuck with me when he said, "Poetry is the spontaneous overflow of powerful feelings. It takes its origin from emotion recollected in tranquility." I don't know how Wordsworth sounded. I'm just taking a stab here. This book is a spontaneous overflow in the middle of chaos, not tranquility. So it's not a poem to you. It's a half poem. It's a po. It's a polar po. Wordsworth also said that the best part of a person's life is his little, nameless, unremembered acts of kindness and of love. I look forward to reading a book one day in which someone lists mine. I feel like I may have failed to do so. Either way, it's obvious I'm currently on a Wordsworth kick, and this should give you literary confidence as you listen to Yes, Please. The title Yes, Please comes from a few different places. I like to say Yes, Please as an answer to a lot of things in my personal and professional life. The yes comes from my improvisational days and the opportunity that comes with youth, and the please comes from the wisdom of knowing that agreeing to do something usually means you aren't doing it alone. It's called Yes, Please because it's the constant struggle and often the right answer. Can we figure out what we want, ask for it, and stop talking? Yes, please. Is being vulnerable a power position? Yes, please. Am I allowed to take up space? Yes, please. Would you like to be left alone? Yes, please. I love saying yes, and I love saying please. Saying yes doesn't mean I don't know how to say no, and saying please doesn't mean I am waiting for permission. Yes, please sounds powerful and concise. It's a response and a request. It's not about being a good girl. It's about being a real woman. It's also a title I can tell my kids. I like when they say yes, please, because, I don't know, most people are rude, and nice manners are the secret keys to the universe. They are words to live by. Oh, and attention, men, don't despair. There's plenty of stuff in here for you, too. Since I've spent the majority of my life in rooms filled with men, I feel like I know you well. I love you. I love the shit out of you. I think this book will speak to men in a bunch of different ways. And I should also point out that there's a secret code in each chapter, and if you figure it out, it unlocks the next level, and you get better weapons to fight the zombie quarterbacks on the Pegasus Bridge. So get cracking, you task-oriented monkey brains. Oh, I still wish this book was just a compendium of searing photographs I took in Afghanistan during my years as a sexy war correspondent, but hey, there's still time. Shall we?